Hello, good morning, church.
Morning, peace be with you. Hey. Right. Yeah, really happy to be here once again on Sunday. So before we come to the word of the Lord, let us pray. Father, we just thank you for your grace in our lives. Thank you that, Lord Jesus, by your blood, our sins are forgiven. And we can stand here and sit here in your presence confidently, sit at your feet to listen. So Holy Spirit, today will you speak to us? Let your word bring life, and that, Lord, we will leave this place transformed to see you, to know you more. All this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Wonderful. So last week was Pentecost weekend, right? And Pastor Evangeline spoke to us about the Holy Spirit. I don't know how many went back and said your hallelujahs. But praise God if you did receive, your gift of, if you have, the gift of praying in tongues, because I personally believe that it is a powerful gift that can be used for, to grow deeper in your relationship with God. Not that it's the only way, but it is a good way, right? Anyway, so we talked about the Holy Spirit last week, and this week we pick up from there. And, I think we made it very clear that the first thing we need to know before we go into this sermon is that all believers have the Spirit. Amen. Right? All believers have the Spirit. Today's passage is from Romans chapter 8, verses 12 to 17. Okay? But every time we read a portion of Scripture, I personally feel it's always very good to look at what happened before and a little bit of what happened after. If you have more time, look at the entire book. And if you have all the time in the world, read the entire Bible. Amen. Anyway, so I will bring us through a couple of verses before the verse 12 where we began today's reading. Okay? So, in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it says this: "You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ." So, how do we know we have the Spirit? Okay, well, all of us are seated here today. A majority of us have sincerely declared that Jesus is Lord. You see, friends, one cannot declare that Jesus is Lord unless he has the Holy Spirit. I share with you a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. This is a letter written to the Corinthian church by the same author of the book of Romans, Apostle Paul. Okay, so in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, he writes this: "Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit." So for a true believer, okay, the Holy Spirit is already in you because you have sincerely declared that Jesus is Lord. Amen. So believe it. Don't let anything cast doubt in you whether you belong to Christ or you don't belong to Christ. I think this is extremely important before we go into the little details of today's passage. So if the Holy Spirit is in us, therefore, as believers, followers of Christ, we need to explore life by the Spirit. And so that brings us to today's sermon. As usual, we have 3 points. My first point is this: we live life by the Spirit because of righteousness. All right. So, as I was saying, we were going a couple of verses before that. Now we go down to Romans chapter 8, verse 10. And it says this: "But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness." Now, righteousness in the original Greek text is this word, as you can see on the screen. I will attempt to pronounce it as dikaiosynein. Now, Attending hermeneutics courses in theological Bible school has great benefit. So you have time, do go ahead and study. Because why? It teaches us that when we look at the original text of Scripture, to understand its meaning, it is beneficial to find out where else in the Bible was the same word used. So I did a quick research online. You can do it nowadays. And interest and just nearby in Romans chapter 4, verses 3 and verses 5, the same word, the same Greek word is used to describe righteousness. In Romans chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness." Verse 5 says, "And to the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness." So we can see and understand from this context in Romans chapter 8, verse 10, that the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. What is this trying to say? The Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And how do you get righteousness? Because of Jesus Christ. Although the body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of your faith, because of our faith in Jesus. So when we talk about life by the Spirit, we must always remember how we received it in the first place. Amen. Everything we have today begins with Jesus. We account it to what Jesus did for us on the cross. It always begins with Jesus, and we must always give glory to Jesus. Amen. We have life by the Spirit because of righteousness. And that is the only reason why we can talk about this topic today. And then in verse 10, go a little bit deep into this word called body. Okay? Greek words, soma, is being subject to death because of body. Now, the body here, I did the same research, is referring to our physical bodies, okay? The same word is used in Matthew chapter 27, verse 58. Joseph went to Pilate and asked for the body, physical body of Jesus. It's also the same word is used in Gospel of Mark chapter 14, verse 22, when Jesus was instituting the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, he took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take this is my body." So this word, if you can understand it, is actually talking about a physical body. So our physical bodies are subject to death because of sin. Okay, however, believers can look forward to life. I give you another Greek word, life, okay, in Romans chapter 8. Verse 10 and 11 here talks about the Spirit gives life, and in Greek word is Zoe. So if you have a friend whose name is Zoe, and if it is taken from the Greek origin, that person's name means life. Okay? So, we can look forward to life, and in verse 11, the Spirit will also give life to your mortal bodies. So what does this mean? I'm not standing here today to preach a health and wealth gospel, but the verses itself specifically talk about a physical body. So there must be a secret here for those who desire to feel alive. Because we have the Spirit in us, our mortal bodies will receive life. Amen. Do you believe that for yourself? Well, of course, when we talk about life, you know, I don't just want to talk about health and physical well-being, because the word is also used to describe eternal life, the abundant life. So I speak to those who are also struggling to find hope, meaning in life. I encourage you to dwell on this word today. Come to Jesus. The Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Jesus himself, in John chapter 11, verse 25 to 26, look here, it's the same word, Zoe. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And anyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? So come to Jesus and you can find life. Find life in Jesus. You see, when one thrives inwardly, his physical body prospers too. Today, there are medical studies that prove this. We don't need the scriptures to explain this to us. You don't need me to stand here. When we talk about people that are going through stress conditions, their body reacts negatively, right? When one is down inwardly, it affects our physical well-being and vice versa. If we are thriving inwardly, physical body thrives too. It goes hand in hand. And maybe here in Romans chapter 8, you know, we hear God's answer to a world that might be struggling within. My second point is this. We live life by the Spirit because it is our second nature. Where's Moses? You see, Romans chapter 8 verse 12 says this. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. In the version in ESV, it says we are debtors. It means we owe something, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. You know, it sounds transactional, right? But this is the way Apostle Paul chose to phrase it. It is strong, but there is a truth in it. Why? It highlights that, choice is always and has always been part of our relationship with God. Think about the Garden of Eden. When Adam was presented with a choice to obey or disobey God, choice is somehow intertwined in our walk with God. And the Apostle Paul explains in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, that we should present our bodies as a living sacrifice. So our natural response is to choose to live life by the Spirit, by presenting our physical bodies, our bodies as a living sacrifice. Jesus himself in John chapter 14, 15 to 17 talks about, in a way, a choice. He says that if anyone loves me, he will keep my commandments. You see, our ability to choose has never been taken away. But I like how Jesus in John chapter 15, after he talks about that, immediately in verse 16 he says, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper, capital H, to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. What is this talking about? What is Jesus talking about? He's talking about the Spirit that we are talking about here today. We have the Holy Spirit who is helping us with regards to keeping Jesus' commandments. In another letter written by the same author, Apostle Paul, he writes to the Galatian church. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 says this, for you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. He is strongly suggesting that the desires of the flesh are on the same spectrum as living by the Spirit. That freedom can be used by redeemed believers still residing in sinful bodies to indulge the flesh. And the solution given by Paul with regards to using our freedom is found in verse 16 and 17. See, the solution given by Paul is for believers to walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So Paul is strongly suggesting that the desires of the flesh are kind of on the same spectrum as living by the Spirit. So in other words, very interesting here, we are either living by the Spirit or indulging the flesh. Either or. And so to overcome our flesh, perhaps the best way is to walk in the Spirit. It's a little bit like if either you're either walking to the left or walking to the right. If you don't want to walk to the left, you turn and walk to the right. So Paul makes it very clear that walking by the Spirit of God is second nature to believers. Why? Because as I have mentioned in the start of this sermon, Romans chapter 8 verse 9 is very clear here. We read it again. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to to Christ. Right? So we already established at the beginning of this that we have declared that Jesus is Lord. The Spirit of God lives in us. Therefore, we are in the realm of the flesh. Amen. Sorry, we are not in the realm of the flesh. Amen. We are in the realm of the Spirit. So, you know, I know at this juncture, a question always is always being asked. I'm a believer. Yes. I've declared that Jesus is my Lord. Yes. But there's a problem here. I sin every now and then, you know, say a bad word or two, get upset, you know, do a lot of bad things, the fleshly things. Does this mean I do not belong to Christ? I say again, and every time I preach about this passage, it's very important to remind believers that we establish that those who declare that Jesus is Lord can only do so by the Holy Spirit. So do not doubt that you have the Spirit in you. Do not doubt that you belong to Christ. Amen. It's nothing to do with your sin. But to answer this question is good if you can refer one chapter before Romans chapter 8, and the answers, you can digest it in Romans chapter 7. And maybe by God's design, I preached this sermon about 1 year ago. Okay. Anyway, the short answer is this. All of us will sin. Doesn't matter whether you came to Christ today, later on, 10 years ago, or you were born into the faith, you will sin. Sorry, not you. We will sin. And we will keep on sinning until the day that we meet Jesus. Why? Because we are still sinful. We are in this sinful body. We are walking contradictions, if you like. We are saved, but we are also sinful at the same time. And that is a contradiction that all believers must grapple with. Okay? But don't let your awareness of sin discount your standing because of what Jesus did for you on the cross. Amen. You see, I always say this, you know, I've spent some time thinking about it. The very fact that you are aware of sin, the Holy Spirit is already talking to you. And the very fact that you're seated here today and you're interested in overcoming sin, you don't want to sin anymore, the Holy Spirit is the one that is convicting you of that. Amen. So don't ever for a moment, just because you are aware of your sin, start to say, hey, do I belong to Christ? I say to you, speak to that and say, no, in the name of Jesus, He paid for my sin on the cross. I belong to Christ. Now I'm going to overcome you. Amen. And that is why we need the Spirit. Because we have the Spirit in us, it is OSN to walk in the Spirit. Or at least it is our strong desire to walk in the Spirit. Amen. That brings us to the third point. Life by the Spirit makes us children of God. Romans chapter 8 verse 14 says that those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. And verses 14 to 17 are very powerful verses for the believer. Let's read. Verse 14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. It is a powerful couple of verses, especially when we consider the historical context of the book of Romans. Now, the book of Romans is a very, very powerful book. Okay, just a little bit of an aside. If you're new to the faith or you are struggling with your faith, right, I suggest to you, pick up the book of Romans, attend a precept class or do an online research, read through Romans chapter 1 all the way to 16. If you don't have time, chop into half, finish at chapter 8. Why? Because the book of Romans lays out a very solid argument and foundation for your Christian faith. Okay, once you read that, you understand it. First time, don't understand, never mind, spend time. Right? And once you understand that, suddenly everything else in the New Testament starts to come to life. Actually, also because Apostle Paul wrote quite a number of other New Testament books, but that is an aside, right? Read through the book of Romans. Okay, anyway, back to the script. Historical context of the book of Romans, we talk about the concept of adoption. Now, back then in the Roman society, the adoption was a legal and common legal and social practice, mostly practiced by people from the middle, maybe upper middle class to high class people, rich people, right? They need, you know, sometimes they don't have children, they don't have a legal heir to inherit their estate, for example, right? They would adopt somebody. And an adoption is very important and significant because it means that there is a complete transformation of the adopted child's status, identity, inheritance, and basically his entire life changes. All right, it is as if the person was born a limb, then suddenly get adopted into Tan family. So the guy is no more a limb, he's a Tan, you know, that kind of thing in today's context, okay? This was a common practice to secure an heir and continue a family name and estate. It is extremely important. But the rights of the adopted child is 100%, no doubt. So applying this to our passage today, Apostle Paul is saying that believers now, through the Spirit, are adopted as children of God. We get to cry, Abba, Father. I put on the slide, Papa, because Abba is the Hebrew culture. It's used in the Hebrew culture in the same way as we in Singapore, perhaps we use daddy or papa. Some people say pops or dad. You know, other people say appa. You know, this word of is an endearing word. It is not a distant word. And when was the last time that we related to God in such a way? Or have we ever related to God in this way? What does this mean for us? This is the first time I'm back doing any form of formal teaching since becoming a father 2 months ago. Finally, I have license to speak about this. Okay, now I'm legitimate. Okay, what is the heart of a father? There's really too much to unpack. Okay, if you can, go and read a book about the father's heart, things like that. Right. Anyway, we can go sermon after sermon about how God's father heart for us is. But in just a span of 2 months, as an imperfect, sinful human being, right, but also a father, here are my thoughts. As an imperfect father, all I want is the best for my child. You know, be healthy, safe, happy. I mean, to know what is right, make good decisions in life. And I'll do all that I can in my ability to allow her to achieve that. And if that is me, you know, as imperfect as I am, I can't imagine what a perfect father, aka God, would be like. I can't imagine. I'm not perfect. But I can at least be sure that God wants the best for us because we are His children. This portion of Scripture ends by declaring that believers are now co-heirs with Christ. Now, very interesting, is the Apostle Paul suggesting that we are of similar status as Christ? I leave that question open to you. But that is the unexplainable riches of God's grace upon us. Amen. That only through Christ and His perfect finished work on the cross can we even consider this question. Amen. And we finish off by, if indeed we share in His sufferings, or state that suffering will be part and parcel of this journey. No, we shouldn't stand here to preach and say that after you become a Christian, your life is perfect. In fact, suffering will come. Okay? And nobody likes to talk about suffering. No one. Okay? And suffering in what sense? I believe it is in many angles. People get ridiculed for following Christ. Maybe in Singapore it's not so obvious, but I'm sure many of us in our workplaces, once people find out you're Christian, they say certain snide remarks or they jab you with a sentence or two to mock you. Maybe suffering, just simply living in this imperfect world. We have to deal with whatever the world throws at us. Suffering, in a sense that some of us might be dealing with our own inner battles, whether it is physically, mentally, emotionally, you name it. Suffering is there. But yet, Apostle Paul, you see, we end at 17, we need to read 18. 18 says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. In time, our suffering will be overshadowed, right? So be patient and keep the faith. So in conclusion, my 3 points is this. You have life by the Spirit. We have life by the Spirit because of righteousness. It is our second nature, and it makes us children of God. Of course, you would then ask me, right, what does it mean, you know, talk about these big ideas. Okay, give you homework. What does living life by the Spirit look like? Okay, quick answer. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 and 14, talks about this, that through love, serve one another. Through love, serve one another. Guidelines, this is the very simple principle. In love, use love as your guiding principle. But if you want even finer print, right, all you need to do is to go down this chapter. I'm not going to read it for you. But, you know, I give you the book of Galatians provides a guideline. What you should do, yes, okay, read verses 22 to 26. Talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, right? What you should not do, okay, also got examples, right? Because some people say, this is good or bad. Is this bad? Okay, read verses 19 to 21. It gives you a very good idea what is and what is not. Okay, we will not go into that today. But for those that are struggling with this idea of living by the Spirit, you know, perhaps there is a constant battle within our minds. Okay. For those that have that battle, you know, talk about, I'm still struggling with certain sin, still struggling with certain imperfections in me. How can I live a life by the Spirit? I would like to encourage you to come to Jesus. Lay it all down. Be embraced by Him. You see, it is okay to struggle. But the fact that you are responding to the Word of God time and time again, that you are seeking, it proves that the Holy Spirit is within you. It is fighting for you. Now the next step is then, will you allow the Lord Jesus to embrace you as you struggle? There might be those who have felt that your imperfections have made you unworthy to be close to God. There was a time where I had a friend, non-Christian, right, but have been exposed to Christianity. I say, you come to church. He say, cannot. What if I go to church, I start to burst out in flames? I don't know what kind of Christian that my friend has been talking to. I say, not in my church. I never see fire for many years. Okay. Right. But, you know, don't let your imperfections drive you away. In fact, the more you feel you need imperfection, you need to come to God because that's the only source of help. Amen. And can I share that God cannot be corrupted by our sin? In the Old Testament reading, which we did not read because I gave Ati Kafun the wrong passages. Anyway, in the Old Testament reading, we often see that unclean things can corrupt clean things. So one of the examples is that in the laws, right, those with leprosy is a skin disease, okay, and it's contagious, had to be separated from the rest of the tribe, okay, or of the community, because if not, they would infect the others, okay. However, in the Gospels, we see that Jesus embraced the man with leprosy and healed him. Jesus cannot be corrupted by what is corrupted. Amen. In fact, when Jesus touched the guy with leprosy, healing flowed, power flowed, the guy was restored. Amen. So God cannot be corrupted. The other reading from Isaiah chapter 6, which we did not cover today, talks about this. Right, just pick an excerpt from verses 5 to 7. Isaiah, you know, had a vision and he saw the throne of God and he said, woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. Verse 7, with it he touched my mouth and said, See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, your sin atoned for. Jesus cannot be corrupted by our sin. Instead, when we come to him, his glory envelopes us, cleanses us, transforms us, speaks to us. And guess what? Today we have the very Spirit of Christ within us, fighting for us, praying for us, leading us and empowering us to overcome our flesh and our weaknesses. So you have to tap into that. So will you respond today to live a life by the Spirit? I draw this to a close. Every head bowed, every eye closed in this place, and let's just spend a couple of seconds just responding to the word. Thank you, Jesus. I will speak to two groups of people and I'll pray for you. Two groups of people. The first group of people, if you feel stirred, are those that want to start this Spirit-led life. Now, if that is you, you've never said that Jesus is Lord, but you want to respond. You want this Spirit to come to live inside of you. That is you. In a short while, I will lead you in a prayer. And once you pray, you will receive the Spirit of the Lord and your life will never be the same again. And after that, I will pray for a second group of people, those that are struggling. But today the word has caused, you know, have given you a strong reminder of who you are in Christ. For the first group of people, if you want this Jesus in your life, you know, repeat after me this prayer and receive him. You can pray, dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I acknowledge that I have sinned, I have done wrong, I've gone my own way. But I thank you, Jesus, that on the cross, you took my sin upon yourself. You paid the price for it and you destroyed it. I receive you, Jesus, into my life. Come into my heart and I want to follow you because, Jesus, you are Lord. We should stay in this attitude of prayer. For those that have prayed that prayer for the first time sincerely, after this you can speak with one of the pastors, or if you have a Christian friend, share with them this important news, because I'm very sure any Christian will be happy to walk with you, right? And your life, trust me, will never be the same again as you live life by the Spirit. I will pray for the second group of people now before I end off. For those who are struggling, maybe you have struggled with being secure in your identity with Christ. Maybe you are struggling with a certain weakness, a certain imperfection or sin that you want to get rid of but cannot. Or you want the Holy Spirit to come and help you. I want to pray for you. Now, if that is you, you know, receive it sincerely in your heart today. Father, I pray for everyone in this space, whether it's online, whether it's here in the sanctuary. Lord, we know that it's only by your grace that we can be seated here in your presence. It is only by your grace, Lord Jesus, that we can even have the helper, your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray for people who are struggling, people who want to live a more Spirit-led life. Oh Lord, I ask that your Spirit will just come and fill us all anew. Each and every day, Lord, your mercies are new. I pray that not just today, but also in the days to come, Holy Spirit, will you just come and fill us all. Lord, give us your inspiration, give us your revelation, give us your power. Help us to overcome, help us to live life which is Spirit-led, that we might shine brightly for you, Lord. And so that, Father, until the day we meet you, that our lives will be just so afresh and so alive and so abundant because, Lord, we live for you. Because we desire to glorify your name in our everyday life, in our every moment. But Lord, we only can do this because your Spirit is the one that leads us and guides us and gives us the strength to do so. So Holy Spirit, just come and we allow you to do your work in our life. Bless us, Lord. Thank you for this time that we get to share in your house. We just want to praise you and thank you. All this we ask in Jesus' name.